Thank you, Brother Steve and the music team. Such a lovely worship. Good morning, everyone. So, as I was meditating on what to speak, I thought of my hobby horse. My hobby horse is learning more about the tabernacle and what they do. So, I thought I will speak about the golden lampstand. So this message is not an expository message, but it is just the importance of lampstand in the tabernacle and how Christ is typified in the lampstand. So I know that these things do not matter in terms of salvation. In terms of salvation, as soon as you believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved and it doesn't change. But it is our privilege to understand the knowledge of God that is given in the Bible. And so I thought I will bring some light on this Old Testament portion from Exodus. And let us go into this. So let us start off with the tabernacle. Before I go any further, I just remembered that thank you everyone for giving Elizabeth encouraging words as she was grieving for her parents. And thank you each and everyone who has shown their sympathies and empathies and encouraging words and even the flowers. Thank you everyone. So let us start off with the tabernacle. So tabernacle is the place where God commanded Moses to build this in order to worship Lord God. And so you can see here that there is a big compound and there is open space in the front and the tabernacle or the tent is in the middle. So as the people enter into the open space, that there is this brazen altar, and that's where the sacrifices were made. Were burnt, and also there is golden brazen laver, that is a big tank containing water where the priests washed their hands before they went into the tabernacle. So there is a veil there, so they have to open the veil and get into the first room that is called the holy place. The first room is called the holy place or tent of meeting. So let us see what is there in the first room. I just want to say that for everything that is there, everything, each and every object that we see or think about, they all represent our Lord Jesus Christ in a form, typified form. He has given this mystery to the people of Israel ages before Christ came. So praise be to God that He is such a loving God that He wanted them to recognize Jesus when He comes. But unfortunately, many of them could not. But those who believed, they became Christians. And so this is what is the inside of that tabernacle. So when the priest enters into the veil, on the left side, you can see the golden lampstand. And on the right side, left is south in the form of direction, right is north, that is table of showbread, where 12 pieces of bread are kept, representing coming from each tribe of Israel. And then the third piece of furniture you see here, where the priest is standing in the front, is the altar of incense. That's where the incense was, the incense was raised. And as a prayer to God. And so there is another veil there in between, which separates this tent of meeting from the Holy of Holies. The holiest place is the after the veil. That's where the Ark of Covenant is placed. The Ark of Covenant contains three objects in it. The manna is the food that God provided to Israel when they were in wilderness, and it was God fed them manna, and they put a portion of manna in there. And also Aaron's rod, which sprouted, a dry stick that sprouted, and it was sitting there. And also the tablets that on which the God himself wrote the commandments. And then on the top of the box is the mercy seat, where there is a glow or presence of God. And on the box you also can see two things there, the cherubims. They are facing each other, and their wings are touching each other. So this is the kind of structure. So I'm just brushing it past, because I'm not talking about everything else there, only golden lampstand. So this golden lampstand was made of 1 talent of pure gold. Remember, 1 talent of pure gold is about 40.8 kilograms. Think about it. 40.8 kilograms. And it costed, in present rates, Australian dollars, 3.5 million. So that is the amount of gold that they used to make the lampstand. And think about, imagine, where from this gold came. This gold was given probably by the Egyptians, sending them off, go away, go away. And then central stem with 3 branches on each side. There is a central stem and 3 branches on each side. Each branch had 3 groups of almond cups, knobs, and those, they are talking about these clusters there, these clusters, they are the almond cups, knobs, and the flowers or blossoms. So very interesting, I found that he has used the pattern of an almond flower. So when I looked up almond, the native of Iran is almond plant. So the almond, he used the almond flowers, birds, and the cups as a pattern for this golden lampstand. And also remember, this lampstand was not made as a mold. They didn't melt the whole gold and then put it in a mold to form the shape. But it was made by hammering. Means they took a big block of gold and then hammered it out to form into that shape. So it is not a small work, or it is very hard work. And also it has got that patterns which need very skilled workers. Of course, during that time, that is in the Moses time, there was skill to humans to make very, very pretty things. It was there, but not for the Israelites who were tending sheep in Egypt. So, but God himself gave those skills to these guys so that they could make that type of patterns. Praise be to God. And then as we see further, this is about the lampstand. It was part of the priest's ministry to care for the lampstand. Its lamps were perpetually burning by filling them daily with pure oil, olive oil, supplied by the people. This oil comes from the people. The priest trimmed each lamp every evening and morning using pure gold tongs and snuff dishes. And I was so impressed. God himself has given them instruction within that 1 talent of gold to make little dishes called snuff dishes and also golden tongs. He asked them to make. He was so specific of using implements for his worship. So it is really amazing to me that the detail to which he has given the information. One of the writers writes, for the whole creation, God spent 3 chapters in the Bible for the whole creation. And then to explain the tabernacle and the things that are inside the tabernacles, there are about 50 chapters dedicated to it. Think about it. Is it not important just to know what it is? nothing to do with our salvation, but to know what God's mysteries lie in there. And so let us move on to the theological bits. Golden lampstand and Christ. So let us see what it says is pure gold typified the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Pure in humanity. So 1 Peter 1:19 it says, Lamb without blemish or defect. So that's what it is, pure gold. It represents his divinity. So why it represents only his divinity? So here there is one more mystery that I learned in my readings is that, so if you remember what they were there in the tent of meeting, there was a table on the on which bread was kept, which is called showbread. And that when they make the table, it has got, first they make it with acacia wood. That acacia wood table is made. And then gold is plated over the acacia wood. When you see that, that typifies the humanity and the divinity of Lord Jesus Christ. Humanity, the represented by the acacia wood, and the divinity is represented by the gold platings. But here, because this is made purely with gold, and this represents the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lampstand purpose was to provide light. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And the light shown in the holy place was symbolic of the holiness of Christ. The light shown in the holy place, the purpose of that lampstand was to show light in the tent of meeting. So that light is symbolic of the holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:5, it is written, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. That means that is the purity. That is the glory. That is the holiness of God, of Lord Jesus Christ. And Christ is, so let us move on to the next bit, which is talking about the future state. Lord Jesus Christ, this light coming from, starting from the golden lampstand, in the future, if you look at the Revelations 21:23, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. This is, we are talking about New Jerusalem. For the glory of God gives it light, and the lamp is its lamp. Praise be to God. So Lord Jesus Christ himself will be, his glory, his holiness will shine forth the entire city. We don't need sun, we don't need moon. Let us anticipate being citizens of that New Jerusalem. So let us move on to golden lampstand and Christian and the church. What is pertaining to us? The holy place had no windows to allow light to shine outside. The light was hidden from the world. So the tent of meeting, there was no window there. Everything is covered. And so the light cannot pass outside, which means the world does not see the light. There was no light in the world. Such a dark place it was in terms of spiritual darkness. And so only the priests were allowed to go inside the tent of meeting and experience the holiness or the light of that light that is present in that room. And so only priests had the privilege of ministering and enjoying the light of the lampstand. But at present, see, when Lord Jesus came and came down, the light is available to everyone who believes, but not to everyone in the world. So he has expanded the number of people who can enjoy that light. At that time, only the priests, they were able to go and enjoy. But now, everyone who believes in our Lord Jesus Christ can enjoy the light that Jesus gives, puts in our hearts. And so, but remember, this light is not for everyone. Only for those who believe in Jesus Christ. They are still walking in darkness. Others who do not believe, they are still walking in darkness. As believer priests, we are able to see, we are saying believer priest. Elizabeth has read from 1 Peter, says you are the royal priesthood and holy nation. As believer priests, we are able to enter into the light of the fellowship and communion with God. So that is the privilege that you have, that God has given to all the believers. As Steve rightly mentioned about how God looks at us and declares us righteous and gives us the right hand of fellowship. This is why. And then lampstand and church, how the church is related. If you remember in Revelations 1:20, in Revelation chapter 2, you read about seven churches and this, 2 and 3 maybe. These churches, they were represented as lampstands. And Christ is the light of each lampstand and is to shine brightly through each of the assemblies into the dark world of sin. So each lampstand is represented as a church in Revelations 1 and 2. And so, what does it mean? That means Christ himself is the light of these lampstands. Our church here is a lampstand for this region. And so the Christ himself is lighting the surrounding sinful world. So our church, like any other church who believe in Lord Jesus Christ, is a lampstand. And then we move on. Next one is the ministry of Holy Spirit. And this is again a very interesting bit. And the seven stems, olive oil and flame illustrate beautiful type of ministry of Holy Spirit. So the nature of Holy Spirit is revealed in Revelation 4:5. Revelation chapter 4 verse 5. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbling and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. So whatever he put in the tabernacle, whatever the plans that Lord God has given to Moses, all those were patterns that were in heaven. Everything that he said to do, they were patterns that were already present in the world, in heaven. And remember, they are not going to change. Even today, the same things will be there in heaven. And so, what I would like to say here is, these seven spirits of God symbolize the perfection and fullness of the Spirit ministry. So these seven spirits of God symbolize the perfection and fullness of the Spirit's ministry. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead who administers the plans, purposes, and programs on the earth. So God the Father, he will create, he gives the instruction. The first idea comes from the Father, and then he speaks out, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Spirit, Holy Spirit, is the one who goes and makes things happen. And so now let us move on to the next bit, continuing on with the Holy Spirit. He played a major role in the Lord's life and ministry. Remember, I'll remind you a few of those things. Immaculate conception. So, Jesus was born. The Holy Spirit will come on you, the angel is telling to Mary. The Holy Spirit will come on you, Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So God said, my son, I will send my son into the world. And then Holy Spirit, he accomplished what God has said. And then Mary, he is talking to Mary here in Luke 1:35. And then Jesus baptized in Matthew 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of water. At that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like dove and alighting on him. So the work of the Spirit. And the third, Jesus was anointed in 3:34. And then Jesus himself is talking about himself. God gives the Spirit without limits. And Jesus empowered for service. So in Luke 4:14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he says these words in the verse 18 in the same chapter. He talks about himself, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he talks about his ministry there, which is predicted by Isaiah. And Jesus' resurrection. So the Spirit, again, he is the one who resurrects Jesus dead. When he was dead, he raised him up. So that's why it is written in Romans 8:11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. See, let us look at that, what it says. Romans 8:11. See, it is written here. Romans chapter 8, 11. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Because of him, we have resurrection. Because of him, that we have that glorious hope that one day, even though we are dead, we'll raise again. And so that is about the resurrection and the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like Holy Spirit worked in the life of Lord Jesus Christ, he works the same way in the life of a believer, means you and me. The sevenfold ministry of Holy Spirit is operative in the lives of Christians in a similar way. He gives us wisdom and understanding through the scriptures. And then he provides us counsel to direct our lives and might to stand against the onslaught of satanic opposition. He makes known to us the knowledge of Christ. So, one more thing is, all believers are born of the Spirit. All believers are born of the Spirit. John 3:36. This is the verse that Jesus speaks to Nicodemus when he says, unless you are born again, unless you are born again in spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. So we each one of us are born of the Spirit, baptized into the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12:12, blessed with gifts of service, 1 Corinthians 12, 7-11, and empowered to witness for their Lord, Acts 1-9, through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, these all things are possible for us as believers. One is, we are born of the Spirit, we are baptized into the body of Christ, we are blessed with gifts of the service, and empowered to witness our Lord to the world. So let us move on from there. And then continuing on, Revelation 3:1. Here it says, again we are linking Jesus Christ with Holy Spirit. Jesus holds the seven spirits of God and seven stars. Seven stars are the church leaders. Let us see what it says. Revelation 3:1. To the church in Sardis, Revelation chapter 3. to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. That is what our Lord is. He holds the seven spirits of God and seven stars. Stars are the church leaders. Isaiah taught that the Holy Spirit will be manifested in a sevenfold ministry through Christ. This is very interesting one. Please look it up. Isaiah chapter 11, 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 11, 1 and 2. So this is about the ministry of Holy Spirit. Isaiah was there, you know, we are in the right, in the spirit age, but Isaiah was not at that time. But God has given him clear vision about the works of the Holy Spirit. What he says is, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Jesse is the father of who? David? So Jesse is the father of David. So he is talking about the line of David. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. Who is that branch? That is our Lord Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and the might. The Spirit of the knowledge and the fear of God. So this is the sevenfold ministry of Holy Spirit. That is the seven spirits that are of God and seven stars which are in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us see what it says. Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of the Lord, that particular word is referred when Holy Spirit rests on our Lord Jesus Christ. When Holy Spirit is resting on our Lord Jesus Christ, then the term Spirit of the Lord is used. They don't say Holy Spirit, but Spirit of the Lord. With reference to lampstand, Spirit of the Lord is alluded to the center shaft of the lampstand and the three sets of branches to the ministry of Holy Spirit. So the allusion or the comparison of the work of Holy Spirit with the lampstand here. So the middle shaft represents the Spirit of the Lord and his ministry, the rest of the six branches. So let us see how it works. So here in the middle is the Spirit of the Lord. And then in the branches, wisdom and understanding, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, and Spirit of fear of God. Praise be to God. So these are the kind of types that God has placed in front of people of Israel so that they understand the things that happen in heaven and they understand the prophecy that he is giving to his own prophets. And so he was so generous in giving such information. Let us move on to the light of Holy Spirit today. Today the light of Holy Spirit does not dwell in a temple made with hands but in Christians. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 it says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore honor God with your bodies. So, in the Old Testament times, in the tabernacle, we have seen the presence of the Holy Spirit or the type of Holy Spirit that is the lampstand in the holy place. In the holy place. But in the present age, Holy Spirit resides in our own hearts. So, what is the comparison? If you look, if you just visualize what I have shown you from the beginning of the tabernacle. So there was a big compound in which a tent was there. The tent is separated into two parts. One part is tent of meeting, the second part is the Holy of Holies. So if you imagine the whole compound, the open space, it is the body, human body. It is likened to human body. And then the first tent, that is the tent of meeting, the holy place, that's where, you know, it is our soul. Our soul is the thing that causes us to act. And the Holy of Holies is the place that is our heart, or the spirit resides in that place. If the spirit guides the soul and the soul guides the body, because we do the wrong things, because our soul tells us, I tell, I want this, I want to have this. And if the Holy Spirit guides your soul, no, this is not the right thing, then you will not do it. So this is the arrangement that God has made. So we can compare what was there in the old times to what is happening now. And so next is the lampstand and the cleansing. This is the last part that I finish. The lampstand and cleansing. So cleansing is very important. Cleansing from the beginning, when God thought about the tabernacle, the cleansing was very important part. And I think I appreciate that part very much when I read these old books. And so, if you remember, when I showed you the tabernacle and the ground outside, I have shown you that there was an altar, and next to it there was a big laver with water in it. So priest, even though there was a sacrifice, even though there was a compensation made at the altar, yet priest used to go and wash his hands. I know it is for reasons that he is becoming dirty because of splashes of blood, whatever. But the spirit is, even though the sacrifice is done, he still goes to the water and washes before he goes into the tent of meeting, going to the holy place. Even like that for us today, that is the reason why we approach the Lord's table. That is the reason why we approach the Lord's table. We are saved, of course. We are declared righteous, of course. But yet we are in this world. We need to cleanse ourselves before we approach the God. So this is a good place. And so now let us see what lamp tells here. The tongs and the snuff dishes used in trimming the lamp stand are typical of the cleansing of believers. Daily the priest removed any dead material from the wick that might prevent the light from shining brightly. Believers are the wick of God standing between the oil and the light. We are like wick, which bridges the oil with the lamp, with the light. So when the light is shining brightly, the wick is not seen, but if the light goes out, only the black charred wick is noticed. When the light is shining, only Christ comes out of us. We display Christ. But when that light is gone, they can see us naked. That means they can see us in our real self. And so, but when the light goes out, only the black charred wick is noticed. If our wick is defective, the oil of the Holy Spirit is unable to flow through us, causing the light of Christ to flicker dimly and finally die out. And so if the wick is becoming black, charred, the oil cannot pass through so that the light can glow. The Holy Spirit doesn't have space if that wick is charred. What does this wick, charred wick is? The charred wick is compared to the old behavior from time to time that comes up, that old behavior. So when that comes, we are chastised or we are disciplined like a father disciplines his son. So that is written in Hebrews chapter 12, 5 to 11. And then it is also written in John 15, 1 to 2. In John 15, he talks about father being the gardener. And then he cuts all the branches that does not bear fruit. So that is the action of wick. If the parts that are not producing fruit in our lives, that will be removed. And allows the light of Christ to beam brightly into the sin darkened world. So when that, you know, those impurities are removed from time to time, the light will shine bright in us. And as Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And so we can brightly shine and hence display our Lord Jesus Christ in the world. And so the priest placed the used portions of the wick into a snuff dish and carried them out of the tabernacle for proper disposal. They were disposed far away. So they cut the wicks, put them in the snuff dish. They're all made of gold. And then they take them out and then put them somewhere away. And so that sort of typifies the Lord disposes of our purged sins far from his holy presence. Psalm 103:12 says, what it says is, sins will be taken away as far as east is from the west. Isn't it? So it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. So that is the kind of, and the discipline you can read from Hebrews 12:5-6. My son, do not make light of Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Praise be to God. So in conclusion, I would say that we learned today about a small detail about the tabernacle and its furnishings. The lampstand is placed in the holy place, tent of meeting, to the south side. Lampstand is made up of pure gold and made from one piece of gold by hammering. And also that hammering, I probably missed that point. Hammering represents how Christ's body was subjected when he went up to the cross. So the beatings that he took. And lampstand typified Christ, his divinity. Lampstand purpose was to provide light. Lampstand is also related to Christian in that we experience the light by faith. Lampstand is related to church as church being the light to the sin-darkened world. Lampstand also typifies the ministry of Holy Spirit. Seven spirits of God symbolize the perfection and fullness of Spirit's ministry. Holy Spirit played a key role in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He also plays a key role in the believers. Jesus holds the seven spirits of God and seven stars. Isaiah taught about the sevenfold ministry of Holy Spirit. That is wisdom and understanding, and then counsel and the might, and then knowledge and the fear of God. So that is the complete ministry of Holy Spirit. To the light of the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts, not in the temple anymore, but it lives in our hearts. Wick trimming and snuff dishes typify the discipline or chastening by our Lord to keep the believer shining brightly in the sin-darkened world. Thank you everyone for listening patiently. I hope you have learned a little bit about one of the furnishings in the tabernacle. And I have seen that every furnishing has Lord Jesus Christ represented there. And very beautifully done. So praise be to our God, the Father, and the Son, Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, Steve, Brother Steve.